So let's do this. Today is Romania's National Day. So to all Romanians out there, happy celebration. This one is for you. Good evening. My name is Marius Turda. And my talk this evening concludes this semester's conversation about race, racism, and anti-racism, organized by the Anti-Racism Action Group at Oxford Brookes. Before I begin, I want to say thank you to the previous speakers for putting themselves out there every Tuesday evening for the past 2 months. Your talks have inspired me. As some of you know, I teach in the history department. I've been teaching at Oxford Brookes for 15 years. I teach courses on race, racism, and the history of eugenics. I spent most of my adult life in Oxford and London, where I currently live. I am a white man, but as you know, there are 50 shades of white, as there are 50 shades of black and brown, and indeed 50 shades of gray. I view my whiteness with suspicion, and I know others view it too, albeit for different reasons. In this country, I am seen as a different type of white. Where do you really come from? I've been asked this question countless times. It may seem harmless. Often it is not, as Mariama explained to us in her talk on microaggressions. Fair enough. I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Maramureș, which is a region in northern Transylvania, in Romania. I remember a conversation I once had in the pub in Scotland. Someone had asked me, so where did you really come from? And I replied, I'm from Transylvania. The chap who asked the question loved it. He thought it sounded weak or thick. Someone had to curb his affection for me, and I explained to him that Transylvania is a real place, not just the land of vampires and werewolves. I came to England in the late 1990s to study. I decided soon afterwards to stay and work at the university. I was and still am a foreigner. I went through all the hurdles that foreigners in these countries go through and must overcome in order to be accepted by society. But are foreigners accepted for exactly who they are? We heard Yue speak last week about her experience as a foreigner, and it wasn't a walk in the park. I am a British citizen, whatever that means now, I don't know, but I've never really severed my Transylvanian roots. They're alive in me, as are the stories my grandparents told me about their experience in labor and concentration camps during World War II, and about the SS killings in my mother's house when I asked her about the funeral stones that I found in her garden as a young boy. As an Eastern European, racism has always been part of my life. But when I grew up under communism, racism belonged to a long-distant past. No one mentioned in public the Holocaust, the deportation of the Jews and the Roma, the transfers of populations. I came from a country where no one talked about racism to a country where everyone talked about it. So studying Islamic history was, I suppose, an obvious career choice for me. I knew what racism was even before I looked into its ugly face. I knew it destroyed individuals and families and communities. It polarized and separated people. It ruined lives. I knew there was Hungarian racism and anti-Semitism that in 1944 orchestrated the most almost complete annihilation of the Jews in my native Maramureș. So these concerns have been with me for longer than my years of teaching in higher education. They have been with me since childhood as constant reminders of who I am. I am a teacher now, and as a teacher, the most important question for me is this: can racism be educated away? I firmly believe so. Education is essential to dismantling racism. But how does one become an anti-racist teacher? No universal template exists, and you'll have to find it out for yourself. In my case, it did help enormously that I read Frantz Fanon, James Baldwin, Paul Gilroy, Stuart Hall, Godfrey Brandt, Tony Robinson, Maya Angelou, and many, many others. With their help, I began exploring new territories of knowledge. But most importantly, having read these authors, I realized that I had to rethink the justification for my teaching. To look towards the future, one must understand the past. So confronting my birth country's racial past was the first thing I had to do. Now I say countries because in my case, there are two of them more or less, Romania and Hungary. From the 13th century until the early 20th century, the country of Maramureș, as was known, was part of Hungary and of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. In 1920, it was partitioned in two parts. One went to Romania and the other went to Czechoslovakia. It was reunited in 1940 by Hungary, only to be partitioned again in 1945. This time, one part went to Romania and the other part went to the Soviet Union. So it's not exactly the happy history you need when you're trying to explain to someone where you're really from. Next, what I needed to do was to locate myself in the present. Now, that's never easy. But the pedagogic aim of teaching about racism should be to understand its current workings in the society, not just its historical legacies. Anti-racist teaching, therefore, asks you to make a statement of active opposition to racism. Teaching, to me, is not just about communicating knowledge. Classrooms are not museums. They are sites of social transformation. Teaching is about taking responsibility. Teaching is about power. Those who teach are in a position of power, and they need to use that power to consistently critique and question the society we live in. Teachers must engage with ways to prevent and take action against racism. Yet anti-racist teaching is not a magical answer to which can solve all our problems. But crucially, I think, it provides us with the questions we need to answer, to unlock the answers. It reminded me of Dostoevsky, of the Grand Inquisitor in the Brothers Karamazov says, we know all the answers. It is the questions that we don't know. So we need to start somewhere. And I want to share with you some of my questions, problems, when it comes to anti-racist teaching. Firstly, in order to work, anti-racist teaching should be accompanied by its corresponding pedagogy, that is, practices and actions that allow us to rewrite the educational content. To teach is to transgress, as bell hooks put it. Anti-racist teaching, secondly, does not mean simply adding a lecture on race to your curriculum. This is not effective decolonization. Thirdly, anti-racist teaching is not done on behalf of people of color. It is not something you do for people of color. It is something you do with people of color. Finally, anti-racist teaching cannot be based on Western conception of whiteness. I am, of course, fully aware that even as an East European, I perpetuate with my presence the continued visibility of whiteness in the classroom. It may appear that I take whiteness as the unspoken norm, but I do not. And I know that other white colleagues do not either, as Tamsin and her discussion group told us. Whiteness, consciously or unconsciously, affects anti-racist teaching. It reveals who we are, but in the process of coming to terms with it, we manufacture the tools we need to understand and critique it. This is the moment when anti-racist teaching becomes anti-racist pedagogy. Without an anti-racist pedagogy, we cannot expel the double inscription of Eurocentrism and ideas of white cultural superiority from our institutions. This is how I see my contribution to anti-racism, encouraged to no small measure by my colleagues at Oxford Brookes. And I want to come full circle, bringing up some of the issues highlighted by Graham in his talk, the talk with which we started this conversation about race, racism and anti-racism. And I want to conclude this short monologue with this saying, anti-racist teaching is less about the university, is less about what the university should do, is less about what the university can do for you. Anti-racist teaching is about what you should do for your students, for your colleagues, and most importantly, for yourself. Thank you.